For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm not too familiar with this tune, God's Country, Blake Shelton. I mean, I
How
know
you,
it.
You just named the artist and the song name, yeah. But you're not too familiar?
Well, you know, I have my ways. I mean, I know it. It just reminds me, and I lost my mom a little over a year ago. And when I was a kid growing up, you know, she was born in Austria, Strasbourg, Austria.
Okay.
Grew up in Venezuela, South America for the first 16 plus years of her life, and then moved to Syracuse, New York, and then ultimately met my dad in New York City and whatever, a long time ago, 51 years plus ago. But she always referred to the term God's country as God's country. So when I would want to go play hockey about 15 to 20 minutes away on this pretty unique what they call deck hockey surface, which, by the way, I spent 7 or 8 minutes trying to explain what the hell it was to Capitals head coach Spencer Carberry last Friday afternoon. It's a waffle aerated surface in which you use a hockey ball, not a puck. A ball.
So it's like street hockey.
It's like street hockey,
it's like
right?
Street hockey, but also if you were to like do real life size air hockey.
Yes. Right. But you play with sticks and gloves and, you know, you have the boards and all that stuff, right? It was just cool. And Spencer didn't know anything about it because he's...
We had boards and stuff, too?
He's 41-ish. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's 41, maybe 42. So he's about a decade behind me. And I was trying to explain to him, you know, because he asked me, how did you get, like, why did you start liking hockey? And I was trying to explain, you know, whatever. But my mom, when I wanted to go play at this one rink on Long Island that we had that had a deck hockey surface to it and the whole setup, it was in this place called Center Reach Long Island, which was about 18 to 20 minutes away from where I grew up. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm not driving out to no bleeping God's country.
God's country. I used to say
God's country. Not country. God's country.
It's honestly, growing up as a kid, it's one of the two most difficult words to differentiate, country and county. Seriously, on paper, they look exactly the same.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. So. Real quickly, before we get back to the calls and before we get to anything else, Mel Kiper on Get Up this morning said that too high safeties are ruining the game and they should be outlawed. We talked about too high safeties and the plug and the pull of teams and how they're kind of, you know, and what the Commanders might be facing, what other teams are facing, what have you. So Mel Kiper said on ESPN they should be outlawed, right, to use double high safeties. You want to know what Jay Gruden's reaction to that was?
What was that?
He said on Twitter, @coach_Jay Gruden. By the way, you can hear Jay every Monday at 3 o'clock right here on the Team 980. Mel Kiper just said too high safety should be outlawed. He does know you can still play cover two with corners playing the deep half. Maybe a corner and a nickel playing deep half. Stick to the draft, Mel.
I know.
Attaboy, Jay.
I know Jay's not going to be getting any calls from the big network.
Well,
anytime soon,
you know,
I think
Jay's given up on that. And I think Jay's just taking out the whooping stick.
Well, yeah.
I mean, how dare you? How dare you take pretty boy Mel Kiper to the woodshed here?
Well, with Mel, if you listen to the explanation, Mel and his issue is that the deep ball is being taken away. There's less of, you know, the nine route being thrown. There's less of the post route being thrown. And the thing that has rubbed me the wrong way with what he said is, one, all of the rules already favor the offense. So to then take a coverage away from a defense's repertoire to me is crazy.
Yeah.
But the problem is, you know, this
isn't even like a fundamental football thing. This, you know what this is? This is a, I'm tired of quarterbacks passing for 175 yards a game. Well, screw it. Yeah, figure out a way to get better.
And good quarterbacks and good offenses are going to beat the too high looks. But my thing is, like I said earlier, I don't even think teams are running too high just to stop the deep balls and all that. I think those over routes and those dig routes are really what they're running this stuff for, to have more protection against those routes. You can still throw go balls. You can still throw posts. Like, the problem is, like you said, though, people are tired of the running stuff. People are tired of quarterbacks throwing for under 200 yards.
They're tired of low fantasy numbers and quarterbacks throwing for 200 yards or less.
It's honestly made football more fun to watch because I appreciate the chess match that happens within the first level of the defense.
I agree.
Like linebackers coming up and whacking guards. Like that's why Jeremy Chinn, he keeps catching strays for me. That's why Jeremy Chinn is like, he got a big week this week. He needs to prove that he's not scared.
What if he's not active?
Oh, he'll be active because Jason Simmons would have a heart attack if he wasn't active.
I thought Jason Simmons was the savior. I mean, he was going to fix everything.
He got Emmanuel Forbes to put on 20 pounds.
We think. 20 pounds of water? I don't know. Let's go to Eddie in Centerville, your favorite. What's up, Eddie? How are you?
Eddie.
Good. Great show, guys. Happy birthday, Rooster.
Happy birthday, bro. I appreciate you.
Hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
So I call because, you know, I'm a D-tackle guy and all this bashing from John Allen and Dean Payne. I don't understand it. When the player is double-teamed, you already won. It's 11 against 11, then it turns 10 to 9. You have the advantage. But when you have linebackers who can't make a tackle, you have safety who can't make a tackle, you can't blame that on the D-tackles. You can't blame that on Payne. Payne did their job. John Allen did their job.
Eddie, I know you know the defensive tackle spot better than the casual fan. Here's what they're not doing and what's the bigger problem. When you get double-teamed, you don't have to get double-teamed. And if you are going to get double-teamed, there's a way you can protect your backers, and they're not doing it. There's one infamous call in the NFL that people scratch their heads over. It's called defensive holding. It normally happens when a defensive tackle is trying to prevent the double-team player from going up to the second level. That's what's happening more times than not. And I think the way that they're playing it fundamentally – those two, at least, I have an issue with. Go watch when Phil Mathis is double-teamed and the way that he turns and twists and gets down on one knee and prevents guys from moving up to the second level. I think he's played the double teams better than John and Deron have.
No, Payne is a beast at not letting the guard or the tackle go onto the second level. Watch tonight. Watch Williams tonight. He's also a bomb player doing that. If he gets a double team, he don't let Moser get caught up.
Eddie, I don't know if you saw last Monday night, boy, San Francisco pulled out the whooping stick.
Yeah, that's Shanahan's scheme.
Yes, exactly.
This Shanahan scheme is just amazing.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is we got to start with a fan base. Dude, these are our best players. Payne and John Allen are our best players, man. Bashing them, it's not a good look on us.
Yeah, but how many fan bases, quite honestly, are not going to bash the highest paid, highest, you know, hailed, lack of a better term, players? You know, it's usually the quarterback or the head coach. I mean, in this case, it's the star wide receiver, I'll get it right one of these days. Defensive tackles that get paid all the money. You know, I mean, like I understand what you're saying. It's probably not cool, especially if, again, you go back and you watch how many times they were double-teamed. I'm sure they were gassed. I'm sure they were, like, just
but
like...
Y'all say I'm sure they were gassed. What the hell are they getting paid for?
Well, they're getting paid to not only make plays individually, but theoretically to create double-team opportunities by their own talent so that it makes it easier for others to get through. And it did on one particular one with Cleveland Farrell, and I guess you could make an argument others, and at times for Frankie Louvu and, you know, what have you. I mean, I saw Louvu like a wild man coming in off the edge on one. You know, it's just not enough. That's the problem.
I think the other thing that you mentioned go ahead.
It just takes one. It takes one sack, one fumble. It takes one. Just it takes one time for Payne or Allen to just get in front of the quarterback and make him throw a bad pass, and we get a pick from Forbes or St. Jude's. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just takes one time, and all of a sudden, what? We're just gonna forget that we've been trashing them for the last 2 weeks. That's just not a good look. You know what I mean? Like, okay,
I don't think that we're trashing them. I think that's a strong way to put it. I think we're pointing out the flaws in their game, and I think that is one of their flaws is being more impactful against the double team.
Thank you. I appreciate you as always, pal. Just want to move along, get as many in as we can. Let's go to Cliff in D.C. Next up. What up, Cliff?
Cliff.
Happy birthday, Foghorn.
Thank you, Cliff. Appreciate you.
That was me. I had to call you from both my phones in order to get on, and you still answer both phones. But anyway, happy birthday to you. Allen and Payne. Why aren't they doing any stunting? I understand they're being double teamed a lot, but shouldn't the defense stunt sometimes too? That way, if you think Payne and Allen go come in, somebody else could come in. Because I see on occasion Payne comes from defensive end sometimes, and then sometimes I see Allen on the defensive end side. And if Johnny Newton could give them a boost, you could have all three of them in there together. And I sit back and listen.
All right, thank you, Cliff. You said they are.
They're running.
You notice some of that when you really again isolate in on them and watch the back end zone view. They are. Could they do more? Sure. Could they get more?
But you can't
creative,
just go but, run stunts every right, damn down because right. you then jeopardize the integrity of your run defense.
Yeah, no, and that was a problem for Dan Quinn's defense.
Exactly.
Along with Joe. But and by the way, it's still a problem for Mike Zimmer. Everybody thought, old school, you know, dinosaur Neanderthal. Like,
they don't got the personnel. They don't have the personnel. That's their problem.
I only wish there was a radio host that preached about how personnel is more important than coaching. I don't know of one that does that, but I wish there was one.
What are you looking at?
Dude, do the radio show. Nobody knows he's there.
He's just ignorant. That's all.
Thank you, Anthony.
I
mean, Linnell's like off in another world. He's like not even in mommy's basement anymore. He's like just staring at...
Maybe he found Joe.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not walking into it today.
Do you believe in Joe?
I believe in Joe Hendry.
Matt tried to set me up, set you up for that yesterday, and I totally dropped the ball.
Yeah, I know.
I fumbled.
You were talking all about all the things you believe in. I believe in this. I believe in that. I believe in this. And I was like, ask him if he believes in Joe.
I think I thought about it.
I think you did do it, and you just have such lack of brain power that you don't remember what happens from one show to the next.
Brain power?
The one stunt that I've seen run the most is the stunt that they had a lot of success with in 2022. That was Duron and John, the tackle stunt where they're picking for one another.
Yeah.
You see that all.
And that's what I kind of meant. I mean, you see that all the time. And again, on one of the, just one snap, okay, you see Duron again swim. I think it's again through the outside shoulder of the guard, inside shoulder of the tackle, and get upfield, or maybe it's the other gap, I can't remember, and you see John like diagonally crash. I mean, they're trying to do some things. One thing that I really want them to do, mentioned it a little bit earlier, mentioned it I think earlier in the week, I definitely mentioned it on the Junkies. They're going to have to blitz from the secondary. Like, if Jeremy Chinn can't tackle anybody, can you blitz him?
No. Because he's not playing at 100% at full speed, man.
I mean, somebody's got to do
Jeremy
something.
Jeremy Chinn out there tiptoeing. It was amazing.
If you just sit back and play coverage.
Is Anthony in here still? No, he left.
If you sit back and play coverage, forget about Anthony. If you sit back and play coverage, you are going to get picked apart and just carved up.
Well, I was listening to Take Command, and Logan and Craig brought this up about how John and Duron and some of the D linemen not maintaining their gap discipline is making the run fits more difficult for some of the guys in the secondary. True, but at the end of the day, the effort, the tackling effort from Jeremy Chinn in particular, less than.
I mean, he's not the only one that's missed tackles. Michael Davis missed like a handful of tackles.
So
that's why he got benched.
Michael Davis missed tackles. Mike Samuels still missed tackles. Yeah. I mean, Mike Samuels has given up 3 touchdowns.
I know.
League leading.
I know. Trust me. I know. I've seen them all. I've seen them all in person. Yeah. And some clown got after me and said he hadn't played bad.
It's not that he's. I mean,
that he's played bad. I mean, he's a rookie. But 3 touchdowns in 2 games. If you would have told me
in week one,
if you would have told me that would have happened, I would have been like, oh, because we all thought Mike Sanders still was the saving grace.
Yeah, he's not.
You know, of the secondary. He's got a lot to do. Either way, I'm saying they need to blitz from the secondary, from the nickel slot, from the outside corner, just where to generate again different looks to generate to make it ideally and hopefully easier. Because I would say this. If you're Cincinnati, right, maybe you get caught with your pants around the ankles one time, but you ain't double-teaming Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne all game long or 60% of the game or however many snaps of the game. If you're coming from different angles in different areas.
But, Chris, this is where
– Arias.
This is where
know
I'm looking at –
you guys
at,
in Maryland say? Arias?
Arias. I'm looking at Joe Witt. I'm looking at Tapp. Elevate the scheme with the pen. If they're double-teaming
you – what the hell does that mean?
Elevate the scheme – by drawing up better stuff.
That's what I'm talking about.
If they're double teaming,
oh, you're talking about specifically those guys,
specifically John and Duran.
Okay,
if they are double teaming them, move them around so that they're not easily double teamed.
But as we discussed yesterday, I think that was part of the plan, and I think that will be part of the plan, especially once Johnny Newton gets fully amped up.
I think it's been very.
And if Adarian Mathis can continue to play reasonably,
I think it's
well.
Been very obvious the offensive adjustments that have been made at halftime. What about the defensive adjustments?
Fair question.
They don't show up.
Fair question. 320 Team 980. We'll get to Paulie. We'll get to Scott in Nashville on the other side. We'll get. We got to clean up on aisle 3. We got a lot going on. We got a lot that we haven't gotten to yet. There's a bunch of cool. Remember how NIL had no impact on college football coaches?
Oh, gosh.
No impact on programs? None. None at all. Pay them all, he said. No problems. Nothing to see here.
I said that.
Got a little problem. Got a big problem. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, coming up, clean up on aisle 3. That's called hitting the post, boys and girls. It's what us radio professionals do.
What'd you just do?
I hit the post.
Who threw it?
You don't even know that term?
No.
See, if you weren't the youngest and uninformed in charge, you would understand that hitting the post in radio is when the DJ...
The DJ? You mean the DB?
The DJ.
Okay. DJ Envy,
disc
Angela
jockey,
Lee.
As they used to be referred to. Mm-hmm. Or the host in this particular case.
Is Matt turning my mic off?
We're getting close. You're getting close. You're edging. Anyway, when the DJ or the host gets it right with what they're saying right up until the music kicks in. So like in that particular case, Karma Chameleon, which is a song, great song from the Culture Club, Boy George, we've talked about this before. Before Boy George kicks in with the lyrics, as you hear the intro, right, the DJ in this particular case, if I was on, 94.7, right? What are you doing to me? It's my birthday. Be nice to me. Are you saying I'm boring?
Well, the good news is you can't say anything right now.
Oh, man.
Damn you, Matt!
Oh. He did actually do it. But anyway, it's just when it sounds like it just did. But you weren't paying attention, so you probably didn't even notice that. Anyway, Jets and Patriots tonight. Jets and Patriots tonight coming up from MetLife Stadium. You would have thought before the season, snoozeroony of a game, speaking of snoozing, and I might be out on the couch by 10:30 tonight, maybe even earlier. The bottom line is I'm actually looking forward to this game. Now, I wish the Patriots weren't so banged up on their offensive line. The Jets are a little bit banged up, too. C.J. Mosley might not play. They lost, was it Jermaine Johnson, right? The pass rusher from Florida State. They still haven't brought in Hassan Reddick. Not that anybody thought that would happen this week, but they still haven't done that, right?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
So there's a bunch of injuries in this game or going into this game. Quick thought on the game tonight. I like the Jets, but the Patriots are plucky.
Yeah, see, I think what New England's done on the ground the first two weekends and the way the Jets struggled to stop the run against San Francisco, I think the Patriots are going to be able to move the ball. I think the Jets' pass rush has been non-existent to start the season. Last week they were a little bit better. But I think it's a letdown spot for the Jets.
I mean, Jacoby Brissett going in, like if he had a full offensive line, we thought the New England offensive line was really bad against the Commanders in the preseason. They're missing like half of their offensive line.
Yeah.
But Jacoby Brissett, to your point, does give them a chance.
He does.
And the fact that the really Jets, again, are thin on the defensive line. Now, you know, whenever you have Quinn and Williams and you have a torn apart offensive line, that could be ugly, right? But,
sure.
You know, if you have no C.J. Mosley, if you have no Jermaine Johnson, you still don't have Hassan Reddick. They drafted, they lost in free agency Bryce Huff. They decided to let him go. He hadn't really worked out yet for the Eagles. There's all sorts of things going on. Anyway, I think this game has a decent chance of being, you know, fairly entertaining and fairly competitive. And of course, you know, listen, I mean, whatever you think of him, it's never a bad thing to watch Aaron Rodgers usually.
No.
Even if he really struggles, it's kind of fun.
For sure. And I think the narrative surrounding him is he's more of like a point guard right now.
Mm-hmm.
Made a couple of big throws toward the end last week.
Yep.
But Keon White for New England, man, that's the guy to watch. He's been wrecking shop on at defensive end, defensive tackle.
They are really thin on that defensive line, though, from what they had to start the year. I mean, obviously, they traded away Judon.
Yeah.
They lost.
Well, they traded away Judon because they knew Keon Washington was a game.
Right, but they lost their best defensive tackle. I forgot his name. I'm trying to remember.
Either way, he's got the blood clots.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get to Scott in Nashville. Smashville, as they call it, for the hockey nation that is great down in Nashville. What's up, Scotty? How are you?
Hey, what's going on? My first name's actually Paul, but I knew you had a Paulie, so I said Scott. So
how about that? Can we just call you Paul Scott?
Well, you're not the only member of the show that doesn't use his real name.
Hey, I got something for you in a second, Linnell. Hang on.
Happy
birthday there, Chris. And
after
20 years of living in Nashville, I'm still bleeding burgundy and golden. In fact, my son is actually a fan. And, you know, it's hard to keep it in the family, you know, with the last 25 years that we've incurred.
But you've done a good job. I can immediately tell because you listen to this show, because you wish me a happy birthday, which is very kind of you, and because you're about to take a whooping stick to Linnell, you're a very smart man. So you've done a good job raising your son.
Well, exactly. I hope he learns. But anyway, Linnell, if you haven't checked out Ninja Transfers online, you need to get yourself a heat press to make all the T-shirts for all of your phrases you're so in love with for yourself.
Okay.
So you need to get that in the studio so you can press them out daily.
That you're so in love with for yourself.
What's it called?
He loves his stuff as much as he loves his phrases. But
What's it called again? Can we call you Paul Scott?
Paul Scott. You can call me Paul Scott.
Okay.
NinjaTransfer.com. But for all of that, I won't even go into his lack of music education and not knowing Hootie and the Blowfish
that.
But
think about what I have to deal with.
I know. We'll get him down to Smashville here and educate him on some music here soon. But anyway, one thing I do got to give him some credit for, after all the hate, I got to give him some love, right? This De'Ron Payne, Jonathan Allen situation, the double teams, he brought up 18th, right? How are you going to get paid the money and be less than half the league? You can't be in the top 15, get paid what you're getting paid, and you're getting less than half the double teams of everybody else in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to show up. And I think part of that is the scheme, because if you're not going to change it up, why don't we change it up at defensive end? Put two or three different guys each time, run it. So at least if they're looking, wait a minute, Jamin Davis is on. Okay, well, now we got Armstrong. Now we got, you know, all these different changes going up there. At least make them look for half a second the other way. That's all De'Ron Payne and Jonathan Allen really need, is that extra half a second for people to question them, get off of one of them double teams and get in there. But if you give them any chance, And I know you guys are giving a lot of weight to your guy coming in there in the middle to do some things that you brought up the last couple of days.
Johnny Newton, yeah.
Yeah, Johnny Newton. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So what happens if Newton doesn't do what y'all want to do?
No,
are they still going to be 18th on double teams? Come on, we got to step it up, guys.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's all I have to say. I'll listen from here on out. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Paul Scott, you call back anytime you want. You can use Paul. You can use Scott. You can use Paul Scott. You can do whatever you want. That's a good call, especially being
what
that he took a little bit of a beating to Linnell.
NinjaT-shirts.com?
Something like that. I don't remember. NinjaTurtles.com? Something like that.
I'm sending you a link right now for shirt press.
We got to take a quick time out. Then we'll come back, Matt, and we'll get to Paulie to wrap things up on the phones. We'll get to clean up on aisle three and dum-dum of the day. It's a rat race is what I'll say about getting to the end of the show, the finish line, and dum-dum of the day itself on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we start with this. Commanders back on the practice field today out in Ashburn. They're running the Thursday, Friday, Saturday schedule. Getting ready for Monday Night Football, 8:15 in Cincinnati. Of course, we'll have all-day coverage for you on Monday, postgame, and everything in between, as we'll all be getting ready for Week 3 to close out and the Commanders in prime time. Meanwhile, from college football, Arch Manning. I was thinking about Eli Manning, his uncle. Arch Manning getting the first start for Texas as Quinn Ewers is out, according to Steve Sarkisian. Now, the good news is Arch Manning will start against UL Monroe. Not exactly the toughest of tasks, but again, the number one team in the land will be starting Arch Manning, who is the number one quarterback prospect in the class of 2023. And again, for right now, their backup quarterback while Ewers recovers from the oblique injury. Meanwhile, from baseball, the Nats getting pummeled in New York the last two nights, swept overall. And tonight they take the road show to Chicago's South Side. North Side. It's been a little while since I've said that. Yes, 7:40 Wrigley Field on the North Side. 7:10 the pregame coverage over on 106.7 The Fan as the Nats try and break that losing streak. And that's what's trending. Oh, that's for sure. Furthest thing from. No, we don't work that hard. I mean, let's be honest.
Some of us do.
Some of us work in the analytics lab until 3 in the morning. Is that what you were doing until 3 in the morning? Just wondering.
Clean up on aisle 3?
That's coming up. But first, we make a trip down to the 757. The man who sent a picture in that I'm still convinced you look like Urkel in it. Even though you don't know who Urkel is.
I do know who Urkel is. I mean...
Your face, your eyes, your expression. Look,
Steve Urkel has a full head of hair, Chris.
I didn't say you looked exactly like it. You looked similar. There was a resemblance. It stood out. It jumped out immediately.
I could see. I could see Linnell saying, "Get out of there!"
Yeah, exactly. I don't think Paulie would agree, but...
Hey, Paulie, what you just say, bro?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hell to the W, man. Linnell look like the black Linnell look like the black Shrek.
The black Shrek. Come on. Be nice.
Hey, man. Hey, happy birthday to G from the shop's mother. I hope you enjoy your day with your family and your son. Have a great birthday.
Thank you. I don't know if G from the shop is going to like that, but that's okay.
Why would G from the shop like that? Today is his mother's birthday, bro.
Oh,
I'm being serious.
Oh,
happy birthday to G from the shop.
Oh,
you share the birthday.
I thought you said something else. Okay, my bad.
No. Now, Rufio, being that you need all the attention, I know it's your birthday. Happy birthday, man. And I even got you something, too. It was in the mail. You know, I know this time of year you do a lot of traveling and everything.
Yeah.
So I got you a laundry basket that got a lid on it.
Wow, and inside the
laundry basket, man, I put some blue cheese,
dressing for you. You know what I mean? I put a fresh pack of tidy whities in there. I know the three pairs you got is all dingy and holy. So I put a fresh pair of that in there. Hey, I even put some hair trimming clippers in there for you because you look like you got a hairy back. You know what I mean?
Paul, you don't know anything about me. I don't have a hairy back, number one. And I don't even wear tidy whities yet.
Oh, you wear tidy whities, Rooster. Linnell already told me.
Oh!
Hey, look, man. I told you I was going to roast you on your birthday.
Mm-hmm. You're doing a fair job.
Quick little roast.
Yeah.
Quick little roast, man. Hey, listen, man.
Is that Chris loves roast?
Yeah, once again. Yeah.
Like pot roast?
But look, pot roast. Exactly. That's in the bathroom, too. We got a pot roast in there, too. It's in the bag, you know. Hey, but look, man. Let me ask y'all this.
Yes.
Payne and Allen, they was drafted on consecutive years, right? Consecutive draft. Allen first and then Payne.
Correct.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Correct.
Okay. So since they were drafted, the number one thing from the fans, media, you know, radio guys, whoever, when they talk about Washington defense, they always said the strength was in the middle. And then that Sweat and Young came, always said the strength is the front four. Right?
Right.
Y'all already talked about it. You know, I'm the last caller, so it's been mentioned a couple of times, but I'm going to say it again. Coaches, the opposing coach get paid, the coaching players get paid. They come into the game, and that's their game plan, especially now with Sweat. And Sweat was basically our best run stopper. You know what I mean? Outside of those two, maybe. You know what I mean? But that's the game plan against this defense, is to neutralize those two guys because they are their best players up front. And we've been saying this for years. And now when you don't have a run stopper like Sweat on the edge, you know, and we never really had a linebacker out there. Ever. You know what I mean? But still, when you don't have Sweat, and Chase Young did a decent job too when he was healthy. You know what I mean? So when you don't have these guys, they still going to game plan, especially now when those are two best players. Their game plan is to neutralize these two players. And let's not get it mistaken. Neither one of those players are Aaron Donald. So occasionally they might be able to win a double team, you know. But for the most part, they're going to be neutralized if that's the game plan. And the one team we have seen that from exclusively – in the past 3 years, has been the Giants and Brian Daboll. That was their whole game plan. We're going to double-team the two tackles and force somebody else to make plays. And Linnell, you touched on it. The roster. And I'm not going to say the roster is not good enough, but number one, you're not going to find 22 Pro Bowl caliber players in the offseason.
Yep.
You got to do what you got to do with, right? So, to me, coaching – no, I mean, it's players have to play better, but the coaches have to emphasize to the other players, the other defensive ends, you know, linebackers also, like, you see what's happening on film. We see these guys, you got to make a play.
Yes.
Until other people start making plays, then these teams are going to continue to double-team these players. And you also mentioned the percentage of it, right? How many teams will you actually say got two exceptional defensive tackles? Not many. Most teams have one good one and one solid, another guy that's solid. You know, so if you take away one of our defensive tackles, I guarantee you their double team stat is going to go up the more than what it is now, 59 and 56. Probably go up to like 60, 65 or whatever. But my whole point of it is, man, that's why I always talk about complementary football. Until they figure this out, the complementary football part of it out, and it also comes with knowing the scheme. We talk about Chen. I've been saying it for 2 weeks. Just like you, Chen looked lost out there. You know why he looks lost? Because he's thinking. And when you're thinking,
right,
you can't play fast.
Right.
And when you're thinking, a lot of times you can find yourself out of position. And that's some of the hesitance of him with his tackling, because he finds himself in a position where now all of a sudden he got to make a tackle,
right,
and he's out of position.
No, that's
and maybe
fair.
He's still hesitant of doing the play he has to do.
That's
but that's
fair.
My whole point is we don't have to trash. Well, like I said from last week, I'm going to keep saying it for the next couple of weeks. constructive criticism and complimentary football.
That's all good. That's good. Paulie, we got to let you run. Appreciate you.
Enjoy
Thank you, brother.
Birthday, brother.
Yeah, your roast wasn't as funny as the Tom Brady roast on Netflix. I'm sorry.
What? I don't think that was the measuring stick.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It just wasn't as funny. It is time to wrap up the show in the final 10 or 11 minutes. We do it with two daily features. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. Oh, yes, indeed. This is the time of the show where we get to spend a minute or two on the Nationals. And, they probably don't deserve much more than that. Boy, they got swept in New York, and they got hammered the last two nights. Tonight, they take the road show on the road. Or the show on the road is what I wanted to say. Back on the road, but to a different, the second city. By the way, if you ever get to go to Chicago, if you haven't been, it's a great city. It's awesome. Great food, great scenery, great everything. The Cubs are awaiting 77-75 for the Chicago Cubs. The Nationals, 68-84. Patrick Corbin on the mound tonight in one of his final starts with the Nationals. 6-13, a 5.45 ERA. He's pitched, obviously, much better here of late. Javier Assad is going to oppose him. 7:40, the first pitch. The Cubs, for those of you that look into this sort of thing, minus 175. Ooh. Minus 175 on the money line. And you can hear the game on the Fan. 7:40, first pitch. 7:10, pregame. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler from the veteran Wrigley Field. And in case you're wondering whether they're going to be able to get some baseball in, I got good news for you, my friends.
What's that news?
It is hot, warm, sticky in Chicago right now, 87 degrees, but at game time, and again, remember, they start the game at 6:40 there, 80 degrees, a very, very, very minimal chance of precipitation throughout the game, about a 15% chance in the 9 o'clock hour, which is when the game should be wrapping up. So they should be able to play some ball and get game one of a four-game set underway. Today's game day weather is presented by Pepco. Storm season is here, and we know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at pepco.com/storm prep. All right, I wanted to get to this real quickly. Dan Campbell,
Dan,
the head coach of the Detroit Lions, is saying he has to sell his home, which he and his wife and his family love. 2-acre, beautiful home, plenty of space, he said. Quote, it's just that people figured out where we lived when we lost. So basically, maniac Detroit Lion fans.
That's embarrassing, man.
Apparently found out where he lived, according to Fox 2 in Detroit. They found out where his home address was. It leaked to the public. They became victim of pranks and harassment after tough Lions losses, not just last week, but after the NFC Championship game. They filed police reports. Apparently, it's in Bloomfield Township, Michigan, and they are basically not acknowledging that the Campbells live there, but the house was put on the market, he and his wife, Holly, against 7,800 square foot. $4.5 million this week is what they put the house on the market for.
That's crazy.
And they have a deal already, so now they got to figure out where they're going to go. Here's the thing. I'll just say this.
That's scary, man.
Yeah, I'll just say this. Can we act like human beings, please?
That's the one thing. Like, I love sports. I love people's passion, but like, I couldn't handle that.
Yeah.
Imagine having to, after a tough loss, you're on the road across the country or in another country, knowing how the NFL gets. And when you come home after a loss, you got to worry about, well, is there going to be a potato in my tailpipe?
Yeah.
Is there going to be toilet paper on my
eggs
on my,
all over
eggs
my house?
On my, like, that's.
Yeah.
And Dan Campbell's the last guy I'd want to mess with. He looks like he whips ass.
Yeah.
Say that with me, Chris. He whips ass.
There you go. All right. Last story in cleanup on aisle three. Didn't get to this. Maybe we'll spend a little more time on this. The athletic director at the University of Arkansas, who I have a little passion for, told the Little Rock Touchdown Club on Monday that in order to be competitive in football, They need the help of citizens across the great state of Arkansas or Arkansas. He said, quote, if we can get 10,000 households across the state of Arkansas to give $100 a month all year long, that's, say it with me, $1,200 a year.
12.
We would be in the NIL game from a football perspective. It's that simple. But we can't say the Tysons, the Waltons, the Stevens, the Hunts, they sound rich. Hey, they'll take care of it because they're not. So what he's saying is boosters, not enough. Rich donors, not enough. People with money, big companies, not enough. We need the civilians. We need the people.
How much, see, and this is why I get ticked off and I'm trying to straddle the fence. How much in taxes do you think the Arkansas AD pays with his rich ass?
I don't know. He makes
probably nothing.
He makes $1.5 million.
Probably
a year.
Nothing. Why doesn't he take the money that he's not paying on taxes and put it into his program?
It's a fair point, but that's also not his job. All right, coming up next, it is indeed a rat race to see who will survive
the
onslaught of the rats. Dumb Dumb of the Day coming up next on the T980.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know this tune, right?
No.
Again, that's called Hidden Post.
I don't pay attention to ass-kissing sellouts like Jay-Z. So, he's kissing the ass of Roger Goodell in the NFL. He's been doing it for years. Him and Roc Nation. They can rock their way all the way back to New York and keep that garbage away from the sport I love.
You don't like Alicia Keys either?
Yeah, I do like Alicia Keys. But do you know who's performing at the Super Bowl?
I don't care. I don't really care. I'm not going to watch it.
What?
Anyway. Yeah, I don't.
You're not going to watch the Super Bowl? Yeah.
Little Jeezy, right? Is that who's going
to
perform?
It's Kendrick Lamar, but we got to get the dumb.
Embarrassment.
We do. All right, here it is. Here it is. The way we wrap up a birthday show extravaganza right here, right now.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
The reason why Matt plays that song, because in New York City, Mayor Eric Adams, he is so frustrated with the ongoing rat pandemic, an epidemic, that he is hosting this week an inaugural National Urban Rat Summit. That's right. Gathering leaders from around the country, public works officials from Boston, Chicago, Seattle, all on hand in New York City for a two-day event at Pier 57 in Manhattan's Meatpacking District to try and share ideas and to figure out how to stop what he, the mayor of New York City, calls public enemy number one. Not guns, not crime, rats. Now listen, rats are not fun. Nobody wants to see a rat. But can we stop acting like rats are a bigger problem in New York City than guns? Than violent crimes? Than other things? Just because people don't want to put their trash in bins and instead want to leave it out on the street curb, and because they don't want to pay, the city of New York has had to hire a first ever rat czar, a former teacher, a former teacher. And they're going so far again to have this rat summit, and starting this November. What took so long? All residential buildings with up to 9 units will be required to put trash in containers, which cost between $45 and $55. It should have been done for a long time ago.
People are trifling.
Since, surprising, rat population is down since they went from trash bags to trash containers. And they're also going to call it the Rat Pack. So I would say this. In New York City, we often think politicians argue about a lot of stupid things and don't have much merit and all that stuff. No offense to Eric Adams. I'm sure he's very smart. Please, sir, fix other things that really matter and just make people pay to put their damn trash into a bin that's not on the street so that the rats have to work harder to eat the trash.
Congratulations, you're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
Now, I know we got to move on, but this is just for anyone that wants to learn a little bit more about human wars against animals. during your time later today, look up the emu war. This has real similar vibes to the emu war.
Oh, wait. you wanted me to do this, and I didn't.
Are you
do
mean
it,
like
sir.
Lemu, emu, and Doug?
Yes, there was once a full-blown war against emus, and let's just say humans lost.
I think he was referring to the Liberty Mutual.
Liberty, Liberty,
and I'm talking
Liberty,
about the bird.
Liberty.
We've got to go. Craig Hoffman is coming up next from Capital One Arena before the Mystics, Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. Mystics with a chance to squeeze into the WNBA playoffs tonight. Craig will explain it all. He'll have guests. He's standing by at Capital. He's probably sitting, but he's standing by. You know what I'm trying to say. Capital One Arena. Thanks to Matt. Thanks to Linnell. Thanks to CK for ordering the pizza. Thanks to Athens Annapolis. Double A for everything that he... Austin, whatever. Thanks Austin. To everybody who wished me a happy birthday. Appreciate you all. See you tomorrow at 1. Sam Cosmi will join us tomorrow in the 3 o'clock hour. Adios.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.